In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
This Sunday, finally, we are in ordinary time. After all the celebration of Christmas and after Christmas, but still in our Gospel, we have echo from last Sunday, the Baptism of the Lord, when John the Baptist says in today's Gospel, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He is our Savior. He is our God. He is here with us to celebrate today, this Sunday Mass. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred Mass.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to the Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. John testified further, saying, 'I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, Christmas decorations are all gone. Trees are gone. Twinkling lights are gone. The manger scene is gone. All put away until next year. Christmas season is over. Well, I guess. At home, my wife is still playing Christmas carols on CD. When I got home last night, there were Christmas carols playing, so... I don't think Christmas is quite over for her yet, and so not for me either. You know, in Poland, they have a custom that they celebrate the Christmas season until Candlemas, February 2nd, the feast of the presentation of Jesus in the temple 40 days after his birth. Now, that sounds good to me, a 40-day celebration of Christmas. I like that, but no one asks me what I like, so I guess for us here, for people in Poland too, officially, we are back in ordinary time. The Christmas season is over. So, an important question. What was Christmas all about? What difference did any of it make? Certainly, Father Barrett, Deacon Angel, myself, we all spoke to you about how during Christmas we invite Jesus to be born into the humble manger of our hearts. Was it? Did it happen? Did we become more like him? That's an important question. What difference did any of it make? It's a question, of course, that you have to answer for yourself in one of those quiet moments. But it's a question that you have to ask. Am I any different? Am I more like Jesus because of the celebration of Christmas? last week, when we ended the Christmas season with the feast of the baptism of the Lord, you know, when you think about it, his birth and his baptism were years apart in time, as a matter of fact, decades apart in time. Yet, the church liturgically brings those two events together, the Nativity and the baptism, as bookends on the Christmas season. And that's because both of those events really share a common purpose. As a matter of fact, today's gospel gives us some help in being able to answer that question, am I any different? Did anything happen to me because of my celebration of Christmas? Clearly, something happened to John the Baptist at the baptism of Jesus. Something that fundamentally changed him. Something that caused him to see Jesus in a whole new way. Did you happen to catch that twice in the gospel, John the Baptist says, I did not know him. Now, how could he say that? How could he not know him? They were cousins. In Luke's gospel, what do we hear when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and she conceived Jesus in her womb? That same angel told her that her kinswoman Elizabeth was with child. In what? Was it the 6th month? And so it says Mary made haste to Elizabeth and stayed with her for 3 months. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. 3 months. That's close family. Yet, John says, I did not know him. He knew Jesus as his cousin, certainly, but he did not know him as God. At least, not until now. Not until the baptism. How about you? Do you know Jesus? Or do you just know about him? Do you know, of course we all know what's been taught to us about Jesus. Like we know about some famous person from history that we read about in a history book, George Washington or someone like that. But do you know him? Centuries ago, the fathers of the church realized that what John saw at that baptism was something that could be seen and understood only with the eyes of faith. But John saw it, and he was convinced, and he was changed. What did he see? He said he saw a dove come down from heaven. Like a dove come down from heaven. At the time of Jesus, the dove was no ordinary bird. It actually had a special significance. It was even, in a sense, a sacred bird. That's why we were able to use it as an offering to the temple. The Jews knew and loved well the image of the dove. We read in the book of Genesis how at creation, in the very beginning, the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. The way the ancient rabbis would teach it is that in that beginning, the Spirit of God, they would say, fluttered like a dove over the ancient chaos, breathing into it beauty and order and life. And so, when John says, I saw the Spirit come down like a dove, the Jewish understanding would be
The spirit, the word for spirit in Hebrew, perhaps you know, is ruach. It means wind. Wind. For Jews, the coming of a spirit, the coming of God, the coming of spirit into your life was like a powerful wind rushing through you. A wind that gave you power. Power to recognize the truth of God when you saw it. And the courage and conviction to live that truth. All Jews wanted the Spirit of God to come upon them, but John tells us that at the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit came upon him in a unique way, different from every other person. John tells us, and again he tells us this twice, he said the Spirit came down upon him and remained with him. See, in Jesus, he tells us, the Spirit of God takes its permanent dwelling. The mind, the power of God dwell uniquely and permanently in Jesus. And it gives us a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a link to that question I asked about us. Because it reminds us of our baptism. And what that baptism was really all about. You know that the word baptism is a Greek word that means to immerse. When you are immersed, you get soaked, saturated. But immersed in what? Immersed in water? Not immersed in water. Immersed in the very life of God. Immersed in the very life of the Trinity. For us as Christians, that immersion into the divine life is fundamental. It's the end goal. It's what this life is all about. That's why Jesus, in his final commissioning to his disciples, right before he ascends into heaven, is to tell them to what? To go and make disciples. And do that how? By immersing them in the life of the Trinity. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, you might recall last week, Father Marek raised the question that's often raised that people ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? He didn't need to be baptized, but by doing so, he shows us by example, what total immersion into the life of the Trinity is all about. A total immersion that each and every one of us is called to by virtue of our baptism. Soaked, saturated, total immersion into the life of the Trinity. And total means the total. Everything. That's why throughout the Gospels, Jesus expresses profound concern, even sadness, when he sees something pull away people from that total surrender to the divine. So back to the same question. Are you any closer to Jesus because of Christmas? Have you moved, even if it's baby steps, have you moved any closer to that total surrender to which we are called? You know, if you feel, probably for a lot of us, me too, if you feel your answer might be no, it's still not too late. Just make believe we're in Poland and we still have some Christmas season left. You know, our Christmas decorations are all put away. Our church, our homes, they look ordinary again. But you know something? They hold a secret. Because in our homes, all those decorations are still there. Safe, stored away in some quiet corner. You see, our homes still remade homes with Christmas at their core. And because of our baptism, we are a place where the Trinity enters and dwells and remains so long as we remain in a state of grace. And then, if we do so, we can have Christmas every day, except just without all those decorations. So, like in Poland, Christmas continues for us too, not just through Candlemas, but always, always. So, Merry Christmas.